ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In the sight of us, text number 17.
यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभ परित्यागी भक्तिमान् यः स मे प्रियः।
One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. So in the last class we were discussing about Udasin. Who is Udasin? Pure devotee. Here also Krishna is talking of the dvandva or dualities that arise in this world. In the fifth chapter there is a similar verse which says na prahrishyet priyam prapya na udvijay prapya cha apriyam sthirabuddhirasam mudo brahmavit brahmani sthitaha. So he says na prahrishyet priyam prapya, he doesn't feel very happy when he gets something that he desires, priyam prapya. And then he says na udvijay, he doesn't become agitated in his mind are broken hearted. Prapya cha apriyam, if he gets something that is not desirable, if he gets, he does not become broken hearted. Why? Because he says tera buddhi rasam mudo, because he has a fixed intelligence. Tera buddhi rasam mudo brahma vit brahmani sthitah, he is the knower of the supreme truth. Some verses before this, there is one very interesting verse, the fifth chapter. Tad buddhaya, tad atmana, tan nishta, tat parayana. Then, what is the next line? Tad buddhaya. His intelligence is fixed in the Supreme Lord. Tad buddhaya, tad atmana. His mind is also always absorbed in thinking of the Supreme. Tan nishta. His faith completely takes refuge in Supreme. Tat parayana. His object of worship and remembrance is the same Supreme Lord. Tad buddhe tadatmanas tannishta tad parayana.
Gacchanti.
Gacchanti punaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. Correct? Yeah. So gacchanti apunaravrittim. He does not return back to the material world. Gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. Because his mind has become completely clear without any contamination. All kalmasha are nirdhuta. They are all eradicated in his mind. Why? This is the reason he is saying. He is saying, tad buddhaya. His intelligence is completely absorbed in understanding the Supreme Lord. Tad buddhaya, tad atmana. His mind also is absorbed in manmana abhava madbhakto. Tan nishtha. His faith always is taking refuge in Krishna. Tatparayana. Very nice verse it is. So because of this, due to such transcendental absorption, such a devotee is able to behave in this platform of na prahrishyet priyam prapyam. So in this world, generally we all face this difficulty of elation and depression. Sometimes you feel very elated When we get something desirable. And when we get something undesirable, we get depression. Just like if India, Pakistan, India wins, people get elation, isn't it? And India loses, they get a psychosomatic depression, isn't it? People. Of course, for that one has to have such attraction for cricket. What about a person who has no knowledge of cricket or understanding of cricket, or one who has no attraction for cricket? It doesn't make much difference for him, isn't it? Like people sometimes while traveling in the vehicles, they keep sharing the scores, isn't it? What is the score going on? One has to have interest for that. So if our mind is hooked to a cricket match and we are very much affected by the results which is going to come, so that is one example of how one can be materially attached. Neither are we Indians nor are we Pakistanis, isn't it? Today I am Indian, tomorrow I may be in Pakistan, isn't it? But why do I feel happy when India wins, isn't it? Because I think, because the body is Indian, I think I am Indian. The soul is different from the body. This knowledge is as simple as that. So we feel happy about many things. Like, you know, New Year is going to come on January 1st, 2006. What is New Year? How many years have come and gone? Every time. So we think there is something special associated with it. So we can see that many of the elations that we feel are based on bodily consciousness. Like for example, somebody gets a new dress. They put a new dress and you have to see in the mirror, oh, I look very beautiful in the new dress. The new thing doesn't remain new for long. It goes off after some time. So we feel happy if someone appreciates us and we think they are our friend. If someone says something which may be even true about us, but which we don't like to hear, then we consider them to be our enemy, isn't it? So we perceive things on bodily platform. That is the cause of this duality or dvandva in the material world. In the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, also there is a discussion that goes on about the indifference to the material world. How we can become indifferent to the things of the material world. First we have to know how one can be indifferent, and then we also have to think about what are the benefits of being indifferent. Like in the 6th chapter he says, Jitātmana prashāntasya paramātmā samāhitaha śītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tatvatā manāpamāniyo. He says Jitātmana means one who has conquered the mind, and by so doing has made the mind his own friend. Generally, although we say mind can be friend or enemy, for majority of the people the mind is enemy, not the friend. But here is an exceptional person who has made friendship with the mind. How? See, the nature of the mind is always to flow externally. And when we allow the mind to flow externally in the outside world, the mind gets mind has the habit of sankalpa and vikalpa. Sankalpa means to accept, vikalpa means to reject. Like you go into a shop, oh, I like this cloth very much, oh, I don't like that. Immediately duality comes. Or you want to buy some item, I like this, I don't like that. So mind constantly is accepting something and rejecting another thing and analyzing and observing which is better. So in this way, mind is constantly entangled in the things of the world. So the more we allow the mind to flow externally, outward, then the mind entangles us. Mind entangles us in this world. That's how. So all the things connected to the body are entangling, and the mind actually flows outward. That's the nature of the mind. But if one somehow can control the mind and stop its activity, just like an ocean. There are two types of ocean. One ocean is very calm, serene, cool and collected, completely calm. There are no waves. There is another ocean where there are high tides. So generally our mind is like an ocean with high tides all the time. So you will see that when an ocean has high tides, it cannot throw away the impurities in the seashore. the impurities also keep going along with the tides, up and down. Whereas, when the ocean becomes completely serene and calm, then you will see that all the impurities are thrown off in the seashore. You will see that. In the same way, here Krishna explains, Jitatmanaha, he says. Jitatmanaha means one who has very intelligently conquered the mind. So, one of the acharyas has said, it is not a joke to conquer the mind. If one has to conquer the mind, just like you have seen a blacksmith, you know, he takes an iron rod, first he puts it in fire, and then when it is red hot, he keeps it on the anvil and takes a sledgehammer, you know, and he hits it. Tack! Then he can change the shape of the iron rod. Similarly, the mind also, to subdue the mind and make the mind calm and collected takes a pretty long time. Actually, all the yogic paths, whether it is Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, any yoga you take, the main first step is to control the raging mind. In fact, Krishna says, Jitatmana. As soon as he uses the word Jitatmana, subsequently what he says? Prashantasya. If you are a Jitatmana, you will be a Prashantasya. If you have understood how to conquer the mind, then you will be Prashanta, means the serenity and peace and tranquility that comes by control of the mind. How can one get peace when one has controlled the mind? Because the mind by default is subservient to the super soul. Mind naturally, because we are all spirit souls, naturally we are attracted to whom? To the Lord and Lord's beauty, Lord's instructions. Naturally we are attracted to that. So if you are antarmukh, then we will be following Lord's instruction. When you become bahirarthamanina, when you become external, then what happens? Then the mind starts following the dictations of the sense objects. That is the difference. So the whole yogic process is meant for collecting the mind, withdrawing the mind from the external sense objects and turning its direction and focusing on the super soul. So the last part is very easy, only the first part is very difficult. That means withdrawing the mind from the external world and then just turning its direction. Once you do that, then the mind will get attracted to super soul as if iron filing is getting attracted to the magnet. Because by default the mind is attracted to super soul. That is why he says Paramatma Samahitaha. Because the mind has to get a dictation from either the super soul or from the external world. One out of the two. The choice is ours. How we want to direct the mind. So, unfortunately, the souls dictated by the illusory energy. Actually, the illusory energy is created by Krishna just to satisfy the living entities who are caught up in the foolish enjoyment. They are chasing after the mirage of the illusory energy. So, Lord has created for their facility. So, the external world is created for the mind to wander. So, Krishna says, Jitatmana Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitaha. Now, when one has achieved that stage of Paramatma Samahitaha, Jitatmanaha, then what happens to him? Shitoshna Sukha Dukkeshu Tata Man Apamanayo. So, six dualities he's talking about. Shita Ushna means... So it hardly matters for him whether he is in wind or rain, heat or cold, whether he is glorified or insulted. These things do not affect him. The reason is because when a person is internally connected to the super soul and is getting dictation from the super soul, he completely becomes oblivious to the external world as well as the upadhi or the designations of the external world. He becomes free from them very easily. For example, there's a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Yasyatma buddhir kunape tridhatuke swadi kalatra adishubhavama ijjadi yatirta buddhi salilena karhichit janeshu abhigneshu saeva gokara. So this verse talks about the external designations. Like it says, Yasya Atma Buddhi, one who thinks I am this body, made up of the Kapha Vata Pitta body, he thinks this is me. So he is really a fool according to Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says such a person is like a cow or an ass, he says. Why? He says, actually three examples he gives. One is, if one thinks I am this body, or if one thinks the people or the things connected to the body are mine, like namely the family members, mother, father, husband, wife, children, relatives, friends, all these people are mine, if somebody thinks. Asyatma buddhir kunape tridatuke swadhi kalatra adishu bhauma ijjadi. Or one considers the place of birth to be a very important place because I am born here. One thinks like that. And then he says, or if one goes to the holy place simply to take a dip in the holy waters without hearing from the saintly persons. Such a person, he says, is called as a cow or an ass, he says. That is the reason for this. Because if you see the cow apparently is very intelligent. Like you will see, as soon as the farmer comes, you know, he makes the sound of the bucket where he feeds the grass to the cow, you know. Cow immediately becomes very sensitive. She will immediately see, you can see that. When that sound comes, she is very, very sensitive. At the same time, the cow also is intelligent not to give milk when the calf is not first fed with milk. She will not give milk. She has the ability to withdraw the milk. So she withdraws the milk. But when the calf comes, she lets the milk go. Then what the farmer does? He allows little milk for the calf, and then he moves the calf aside, and then he starts milking the cow. You've seen that, all of you? Isn't it? So now, sometimes the calf dies due to some reason. So what the farmer would do, he takes the skin of the calf and he stuffs it with straw or something like that. He fills it up. And then now he brings the calf very near and he puts the calf near the udder of the cow. And the cow sees the calf, and licking the calf, she gives milk, thinking that this is my own calf. But actually the calf is a dead calf. But the milk is giving, thinking that I am giving to the calf. That is why the cow is considered foolish. Similarly, all the people who are surrounding us as relatives and friends and society and friendship and love, which we are very attached to, these are all actually souls which are simply covered with material bodies. We identify with them with the material bodies, right? Our love is based purely on what? External material forms. Otherwise, why do people cry if somebody passes away? Isn't it? After all, the body is going to be burned to ashes. So, people see the external material bodies and they are very attached to the material forms. And for those material forms, they become ready to do anything in life. And they work very hard. But the fact of the material world is such that all the people who are surrounding us as relatives and friends and society and such circle, they all are individual souls. Just like you have seen birds flying in the sky in the evening when they go. When they are flying in the sky, it's a very beautiful sight to see. Sometimes you see in the sky, parrots are making sound and they all go together. But every bird is an individual. They have no connection whatsoever. If one of the birds is shot with a catapult, he will fall down and the other birds will continue to fly. Because they have no relation. Similarly, people whom we call as relatives, friends, society, friendship circle and all, we have no control over their lives. Their old age, disease, death, and our old age, disease, death, they all are independently controlled by the Supreme Lord. Actually, we can't do anything with them. We have no ability to protect them, although we think we are protecting them. By giving them a house, by giving them facility, we think we are protecting them. Actually, we are not protecting. Who is protecting? The Lord is protecting them. That is why, if you want to read more about this interesting concept which you are talking now, you can read in Srimad Bhagavatam 1st Canto. That is a very nice section. Where Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting and mourning. Oh, my dear grandfather, Dhritarashtra, I committed a big blunder by not respecting you properly. You left me and you have gone somewhere. Please tell me, how did I offend you? Where are you now? He is lamenting like that. At that time, who comes? Narada comes. Narada tells Yudhishthira, my dear Yudhishthira, don't lament like this. Your grandfather has gone to forest and he has gone with Gandhari. So, he didn't even tell Sanjay before going. He just started walking off following Vidura, and following Dhritarashtra was Gandhari. They went to the forest. And Narada told him, see, in the forest, suddenly there are trees from where you can get fruits. And there are rivers from where you can get waters. So don't lament that you have not protected your uncle. In fact, he said, in this world, no one can protect anyone in this world. You have no ability to protect anybody. Don't think that you are the protector of your uncle. So in fact, Narada indirectly chastised Yudhishthira. And he told a very famous verse. He said, Kala karma gunadino deho yampancha bhautikah katamanyastu gopayet sarpagrasto yathaparam. He said, in this world, every living entity is subjected to three things. Kala means the inevitable time which imperceptibly swallows every living being by appearing as death, Kala, in everyone's life. Kala karma means everyone is carrying the karma on the back, like a backlog of karma. We are all carrying invisible bag on our back. We are carrying some good karma and some bad karma. And suddenly one attains some post or position, one becomes a prime minister of a country, or one becomes a big manager in an office, one gets a big salary, one gets a big car, big bungalow. Other time one attains misfortune, slapped by the whip of material nature. One is subjected to poverty, or diseases, or old age, or death, or loss in business, isn't it? So these two are all based on one's backlog of karma. So he said, you and I cannot control, it's all based on one's karma. Kala, karma, and guna are the three modes of material nature, which are making everyone like a play toy in the hands of Maya. So he said, everyone in this world is controlled by these superior forces very powerfully. So you are thinking that you are going to protect your uncle, but I can tell you how foolish this idea is. Just like a frog is trying to catch a fly, but behind the frog there is a serpent with open mouth. Before the frog catches the fly, the serpent devours the frog. Frog is wondering what happened to me. He's inside the mouth of the serpent. Similarly, we may be thinking that I am protecting so and so, but before we exhibit our endeavor to protect them, we are gone in that place. So that is the way the material world is. In material world, no one can predict who will pass first, who will pass later. Sometimes people say akala mrityu, kala or akala, it all, sometimes the son passes first, sometimes father passes first, sometimes mother, anybody can pass anytime out of this world. The law of the material world is that every one of us are individual souls, and we all are flying like the individual birds, and we all have to work out our own karma. We have to individually surrender to the Supreme Lord, and no one can surrender for us. We have to surrender ourselves to that super soul. So one has to know this fact. So it would be a foolish idea if one thinks that I can protect all the people around me and I by my affection. Actually, of course, we can show affection, but we can't protect much. For example, say my grandfather or grand uncle, somebody is going to Bombay in a train. I can say, Tata, I can say, and sometimes people even cry tears also, isn't it? They kiss one another, they embrace, and they cry tears. And then they hope and pray that the train reaches safely to the other side. And then after going there, they will phone up and say, Ponch gaya, I have reached that destination. So now, when the train goes from here to Bombay, what mantra I have got to protect the train from having any accident? I cannot have. To have any control? I am not a superman to have any control. There is no such superman who can control the train from any accidents or the control the flight. People send their children to America. You can just imagine plane flying at such an elevation, that too above Atlantic, in the middle of the ocean, cold waters, not just waters, there are sharks and all kinds of dangerous timingalas. So if plane crashes, that's all. You can't even, there's no use talking about it. Whether anybody will ever survive. Our situation in this material world is like a straw in Atlantic, or like an ant in Atlantic. Very, very, anytime anything can happen in this world. We can't protect. We can only wish them. That's all we can do. We cannot protect anyone. Kala karma gunadi, deho yam pancha bhautika, he says. That is why one should become detached by knowing this fact. That because I cannot protect anyone or anybody, the Lord only can protect. So it's better for me to surrender to the Lord. And ultimately Lord is the protector of everyone. That's why he says Jitatmana Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitaha. Yeah. So in a family, a husband, wife, son, daughter, they all live together by will of providence. They are arranged. One soul is called the husband soul, one soul is called wife soul, one soul is called daughter soul, another soul is called son soul, another soul is called dog soul, pet dog soul. They are put in the same family, they all come together. And by will of providence, they all are living in the same family together. But all of them are souls, and they all have connection to whom?
Krishna.
Krishna, who appears as super soul in this world. So individually, every one of them will have to connect themselves to super soul. So best thing for all of us to do is to help one another get connected to this Paramatma, super soul. Because he alone is the almighty, supreme, who can give protection to any living entity, who can give refuge and shelter to any living entity. That is why he says, Tad Buddhaya, Tad Atmanas, Tan Nishta, Tad Parayanaha. Like that he says. Gacchantya Punaravrittim. See, one can, by doing this, Tad Buddhaya, Tad Atmanas, Tan Nishta, Tad Parayanaha, by doing these things, what happens? Gacchantya Punaravrittim, without returning back to material world. Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. One can become completely purified and return back to spiritual world. So, after this verse, Jitatmana Prashantasya Paramatma Samahitaha, he says, that is the reason why this person becomes free from these dualities. Because, if you see, it is such a petty idea, and in the external world, what you identify with, like we identify with the body. For example, the same body we dress so attractively, we put cosmetics, and we wear all types of dresses, and we care for the body so much, that body becomes older and older. It doesn't look beautiful anymore when you get old. Small children, you see, they look like butterflies. They are so attractive, isn't it? Their face is so littered up, their eyes are littered up, they are so attractive. But then when they grow up over a period of time, as they become 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, you see, gradually the beauty fades off. It goes away. It doesn't remain with us forever. So, one has to know that this body is a changing situation. And the land on which we are born, that is a changing situation. And all the relatives and friends who are surrounding us, they will not be with us forever. They will all be gone, we will be gone to some other destination, they will be gone to another destination. And in this way, the soul is wandering in this world in millions of bodies, again and again. So one should not be like the cow, who foolishly, thinking of the calf to be her own, is giving milk, although the calf is already dead and gone. Like that. So, you know this cuckoo, black color bird, who makes very sweet sound. This cuckoo, what it does, of course the cuckoo and crow, they both of them look black. But the cuckoo's voice is very sweet and the crow's voice is unbearable, isn't it? So the cuckoo goes and lays eggs in the nest of the crow. And the crow cannot distinguish between what is my egg and what is cuckoo's egg. And the crow very carefully takes care of all the eggs, and then when the eggs hatch, then the crow comes to know that these are not my children. These are just some of the cuckoo children, they all fly off later on. But the crow has put so much energy. Similarly, all of us, we work very hard thinking that this is my relative and that neighbor is my enemy. We think these people are very dear to me because they belong to my family, my caste, my state and everything. I love them very much. So I will serve them very loyally, faithfully. What about the neighbor? Help with the neighbor. I don't care for the neighbor. He belongs to another caste, he belongs to another state, or, you know, another language and everything. You may see the difference between people like that, but actually this hardly matters what language people speak, what state they belong to, what caste they belong to. Everything is completely superficial covering. It's all covering upon the soul. Upadhi, designations. That is why one is called a cow or an ass. Because the ass takes a very heavy burden on the back, thinking that I am doing a very great job. Similarly, one works very hard in this world simply to satisfy the demands of all the different relatives, friends and people of the world, to impress them. But such hard endeavor is good for nothing, for the soul at least. Maybe externally we have impressed some people for some time. But then for the soul, there is no benefit. That is why the donkey example is given. Because the donkey works very hard by carrying the heavy load of clothes on his back to the riverside. And then again in the riverside he washes the clothes and again puts it on the back and he comes back. But then, you know, what he wants from the washerman? Just a palmful of grass. For that he works very hard. So, because of the bodily identification only, people work very hard in this world. That's the whole thing. So this is called as upadhi. There is one famous verse on bhakti, you know. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. So this verse says about sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. Uncover yourself of all the designations, it says. Remove all the designations. Let us see everyone as only a soul, he says. Let us learn to see everyone in the platform of soul. And if we are stripped off of all our designations, along with all our problems also will be gone. Very easily, it's understandable. All our 100% problems come from all the designations only. Because we are accepting designation, we are also accepting the problems. We give up the designation, he'll give up the problems. But the problem is, we are attached to the designations. So we cannot give them up. So we suffer. That's very natural, material world. So we are attached to false designations of relatives, friends, false designations of post and position, and prestige and status in society. We are attached to false designation of caste, creed, color, nationality. We are attached to the false conception of what religion is all about. We think if I go to a holy place, if I go to all the holy tithas and take bath and come, then everything will be alright. So that's why he gives the example of a cow. A cow may be going to university. So a cow goes to Pune University for 3 years. And you go to Pune University. What's the difference? You will get a degree after 3 or 4 years, but cow will not be given a degree. Because he just goes there and graces and comes back. He doesn't know why is he going there. He just goes to eat and come. So, in the same way, if somebody goes to a holy place and does not benefit by hearing from saintly people about how to attain the feet of the Lord, then such visit to the holy place is condemned. So, after saying this, Shitoshna Sukha Dukke Shitata Mana Apamanayo, you will see that as soon as one understands that I am not the body, I am the soul, the whole story changes. The person's style changes. For example, we all used to go to gym when we were young boys, you know. Like, you know, 7th standard, 8th standard to build the body. You know why people want to build the body? You all know the reason. Why? You want to show off. Very simple reason. You want to show to others that you have a very healthy body, you have good biceps and you are attractive looking, you know. So you go to gym with all the... Then, so we used to have Hanuman. You offer obeisances to Hanuman. Then you know, build your body. Spending so many hours, you know, to have a attractive looking body. But then the moment we came to know, you are not the body, you are the soul, the whole story changed. So no more interest for the body. Now interest for the soul. Actually everyone at least should have some interest in the body first of all. Some people destroy the body also by smoking and drinking and everything. So they cannot be interested in Atma vichar also. But if somebody is little interested in the body first, then he can divert his attention to the soul. You can tell him that's why you have to preach in all the gyms, I thought. Tell them you are caring for the body so much. Your body will be finished at one point of time. Better you focus on the soul. You are the soul. So then you find that then we focus on Atma. Then our interest in the body reduces gradually. Because you know that no matter how carefully you protect the body, gradually, idam shariram parinama peshalam patati avashyam. It is certainly destined to fall down to the ground. Patati avashyam shatasandhi jarjaram. So when we know the truth, naturally then we focus on the soul. On the knowledge of the soul and the activity of the soul. Same thing Lord Krishna says here. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita. As soon as the mind is calmed down and controlled, the mind automatically gets hooked to Paramatma. That is why mantra, we chant mantra every day. Why? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So when mind is calmed down, then it becomes naturally attracted to the Supreme and to the subject matters connected to the Supreme automatically. It likes to, you will see that the mind becomes a good mind or a very, we get a healthy state of consciousness when we calm down the mind. So this chanting of the Mahamantra is done for that. Because the nature of the mind is to take dictation from the Supreme. That's the nature of the mind. That's why subsequently Lord Krishna says, what happens to that person? As soon as the Paramatma realization dawns in the heart of a practitioner, first thing that happens is this. Jnana vijnana truptatma. He becomes completely satisfied in the transcendental knowledge and the realization that comes forth by dint of the transcendental knowledge. Jnana vijnana truptatma kutastho vijitendriya. Kutastho means firmly situated, and he becomes a vijitendriya. He conquers all his mind and senses. And then he says, yukta ityuchate yogi samaloshtrashma kanchana. He sees the gold and pebbles to be same. He doesn't see any difference. This is something people fear. When you take to spiritual life, this fellow will lose interest for economic development. Many of relatives will tell you, don't go to these classes. Because you want to lead a life of simple living, high thinking. So that naturally comes. You will see that anybody who takes a 16 rounds chanting, becomes serious in Krishna consciousness, gradually what will happen? Their interest for accumulating more and more reduces. And you are happy with whatever, you become content, which many materialistic people will not like you to be. They want you to have the passion for working hard and accumulating more. Of course, it's not that a devotee becomes a lazy bum, not doing anything. A devotee works hard, but in a different direction. Just like that verse says, Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. Tasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashitomane. So, like a materialist works in one direction and the spiritualist works in the opposite direction with the same speed. They both are actually working for two different goals. Materialist is working for a materialistic goal which will go on accumulating more and more, and one fine morning or not so fine morning, everything will be finished. Whereas a spiritualist, he also works hard to work also on the platform of the soul. Trying to reconnect the soul to the super soul, revive his lost relationship with the super soul. And then he works hard in that respect. And whatever it takes, he does. Okay, I should eat only prasad. I should read these books. I should come to these programs. I should take to this penances and austerities. I should go to yatras. I should attend counselor meetings. Isn't it? One takes all sorts of tapasya for what? For reviving the lost relationship with Krishna. So, when one does that, then as he says, samaloshtrashma kanchanaha. Then you are not so much attracted to gold, silver and pebbles. Sometimes you find there are some pious people in India. They are apparently pious. They also do some religious rituals and all at home. They wake up in the morning, they do some little puja and all. But they talk a lot about gold, silver. They talk a lot about money. You have seen that? Correct or not?
Yes.
Or you feel they don't talk? Pious people, isn't it? They may be externally, superficially pious. I don't know here, and how is it in Maharashtra, I don't know. But at least in South India, I have seen they wear silk saris. At home, they count what kind of jewelry they wear, how much, what do you call that? Tola, they call it, yeah. What do they call it?
Tolas,
yeah. How many tolas they are wearing. So when they go to marriage, they have to make a display of that, how much tolas they are wearing. So they talk about gold, they talk about silver, they talk about how much money they have, what is our status, what is their status. We are big, they are small, and they are little bigger than us, we will, put them down, we will go up. So they always compare these things. But here is a samaloshtrashma kanchana. When one achieves the connection with the super soul, then one does not see much difference between pebbles and gold and silver and all that. Doesn't make any difference. Because how does it make any difference? You are the soul. And the soul is going to leave the body, and you are not going to be clasping on to this gold and silver forever. They are temporary. They will be finished. Everything will be finished along with the death. And when Paramatma realization becomes mature, one is called as Yoga Arudha. Yoga Rurukshu and Yoga Arudha. Yoga Rurukshu is the beginner, but Yoga Arudha is the most mature yogi. When one comes to that stage, then one step ahead he goes, where Lord Krishna says, that is the most amazing thing. Suhran Mitraryudasina Dveshyasta Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu Madhyastha Dvesha Bandushu Sadushvapicha Papeshu Samabuddhir Vishishyate. He says, when initially you see only pebble and gold to be similar, but when you go even higher in maturity, when you start seeing every soul to be equal, Vidyavane Sampane, Pandita Samadarshana, in that platform you come, then you will not see difference between who is your Suhrit, well-wisher, Suhrit, Mitra, friend, Suhran Mitra, Udasina, one who is a neutral party when there are two belligerent people. Udasina. Madhyastha means one who is a mediator between two belligerent parties. Madhyastha. Dveshya, one who is your enemy. And then he says Madhyastha Bandushu, one who is the relative. And then Sadhu means one. Saintly. And Madhyastha Dveshya means Sadhu Shvavicha Papeshu. Even a sinner, one does not see any difference between these people. He sees them all equally. So, this is a very high platform. For one to see that there is no difference between one person and another person. Because in quality, all the souls in each of the bodies is same. In fact, there is no difference between man, woman, animal, bird, plant, tree, any of these things. At least on the platform of the soul. So the true equality exists where? In the platform of soul. Not in the platform of external body. In the modern times, man is trying to make man and woman equal. They want to make unisex. They want to treat everyone equally. Actually, on the platform of body, there is always difference. There cannot be equality because woman's psychophysical nature is different, man's psychophysical nature is different. When a woman bears a child and becomes pregnant, a man doesn't become pregnant. Woman has to carry the child. So, if you see, there are differences. Similarly, you cannot embrace a tiger, although you may embrace a pussycat, isn't it? Because although the soul is there in both the bodies, there's a big difference. So, this realization brings him to the point of such indifference, where he sees that all the souls are equal. They are all equal when you see on the platform of soul. So that is how he is able to not have anybody as an enemy. He has no enemy, no friend, because he knows that all the souls are pure. They are Satchidananda. They are all part and parcel of Krishna. And because of their connection to Krishna, he also develops love for them. Because he loves the Lord, so naturally he loves the part and parcels of the Lord, automatically. So he does not have hatred for anyone. So in that platform one can come to this realization what we are reading today here. Yona Hrishyati Na Dveshti. Means he does not laugh or rejoice when he gets something. Like, you know, Prabhupada in one of his lectures he says, one fellow, got some money in the lottery, he got a heart attack. Prabhupada is talking about someone. He got a big money in lottery and he could not believe that he is going to own that money. He got a heart attack. So then his wife took that person, put him in a car and rushed him to the hospital and told the doctor, please kindly save him. You know, this fellow will, it seems he's going to die. And doctor thought, this is a golden opportunity for me to exploit the money. That's how much he got. She said 1 crore. So doctor said, okay, I will save him right now, provided you agree to give me half of the wealth. All right? She said, whatever you want, you can take. Okay, we take half. We are ready to give. And daughter got the heart attack after that. And he heard it. That is the way the world is. So, in this world, when we, Hrishyati means, when we get some material circumstance very favorable to what we wanted, we feel I am a hero or I am a heroine. We feel like that. And then when we get success, we even tell people, whom do you think am I? I am so-and-so. And so-and-so has never faced any failure in life. You know, people show like this, no? You know, Daksha comes from the thumb of Brahma, you know that? That's why people show like this. I am expert. Isn't it? So, we think we are a hero. Actually, we are not hero or heroine. Prakrite kriyamanani gunaikarmani sarvashah ahankara mudhatma karta aham iti mannite. He thinks I am the doer. He thinks. So, that is the meaning of Hrishyati. And Yona Dveshti. He does not grieve when unforeseen circumstances come in his life. Actually, we all have to undergo sometimes happiness, sometimes distress. We will see that without, sometimes people endeavor for happiness so much, and then at last they get happiness, and they falsely think it is by my endeavor I got the happiness. Actually, it is not. Actually, they got the happiness because of their prarabdha karma. All of us have a prarabdha karma. And Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends, Sukham, what that was? Sukham aindriyakam daitya deha yoge na dehina sarvatra labhyate daiva yatha dukham ayatnataha. He says, yatha dukham ayatnataha. Without endeavor, as the suffering comes in your life, my dear friends, he said, in the same way, in your life, happiness also will come. Without struggling for it. It doesn't mean you should not work. We have to do our routine work. But do not over-endeavor. Do not over-endeavor for happiness. See, if you over-endeavor for wealth or happiness, from here you can go from here to here a little bit. But that also will be compensated by equivalent amount of suffering, which will come in another way. So, Prabhupada says material progress, you cannot make much material progress because it's already destined to you. Somebody is supposed to be born with a silver spoon. Somebody is supposed to be born in the slum. That is predestined. Material destiny is predestined. But spiritual progress cannot be checked. There is abundant scope for us to work hard. Like, for example, the more we invest our time, energy, resources, consciousness, everything in spiritual life, you can take leaps and bounds in spiritual life because the spiritual life is not predestined. It is not predestined. It is purely on causeless mercy of the Lord and the pure devotees. So either in this life we can become pure devotee, or after a million lifetimes we may still not be a pure devotee. It depends on the soul, how he utilizes his free will. Whereas in material life, see, what is material life? Material life means all of us are awarded with body, which is like a machine. Just like every machine has a capacity, right? For example, a horse can run fast while a dog can't. Isn't it? If you compare a horse and a dog, who will win the running race? Horse. If you have a barking competition, who will win? Dog will, isn't it? Because they have two different strengths. So that means the machine of the horse or the machine of the dog are inbuilt with certain skills and abilities and talents which are born with the body. Same way with us also, the material progress that we are trying to make cannot be changed much, because all of us are given a certain amount of brain, certain amount of skills and abilities and talents, and the tendencies, guna karma, that is fixed. Now you may ask, then why are we forcing people to work hard? Why do we tell? Because people don't do their duty, we tell them you do your duty, but don't be attached to result. Because we all have to do our routine duty, but don't work too hard. Hoping that I will be able to change my material life from a thatched cottage to a skyscraper building. Even if you did, that didn't amount to any profit for you at the time of death, because you are going to leave it behind. And then we have to go as a naked soul when you come out of the body, and we'll be accountable for every good and bad that we did. So it would be utter foolishness to while away all the valuable time in simply converting a cottage, thatched cottage, into a skyscraper building. Rather, it would be worthwhile to make little progress. That's why that verse in the first canto says, what is that verse? Kim pramattasya bahubir parokshair hayanairiha varam muhurtam viditam gatate shreyase yataha. One moment of transcendental thought is far superior than the huge amount of material endeavor for developing oneself in material life, he says. This is not to discourage people from performing their duties to family or duties to their jobs. But we have to know that in material life, the progress will be minimal, and even if it is much, it's not going to remain with us. The great progress that you have made will certainly come to you in the form of another suffering. Like, for example, sometimes people suddenly succeed in business and they get a lot of money, and along with money they also purchase anxiety also, correct? Yeah, with money comes anxiety also. About how to utilize that money, how to then I have to increase my status to show the people that I have so much money now. Then how to utilize that money? I should not put the money in this bank, I should put the money in that bank, and my friend will come to know, and there are people who are doing politics to pull you down. Isn't it? So that means if you improve in your material life somehow or other, by hook or crook you come up, an equal amount of suffering you will get, it says. So he says that do not unnecessarily endeavor in that direction, he says. That's why he says, yatha dukkam ayatunataha. Without your endeavor, suffering comes to you. In the same way, the happiness also will come to you. That is why he says in this verse, no, yona hrishyati nadbeshti. He doesn't rejoice when he gets material success. Like I got first rank, or I got a gold medal. What difference it makes to all these things? How many great material personalities have come and gone? Where is Hitler? Where is Napoleon Bonaparte? Where is Alexander the Great? Where are those people gone? And all of them have been covered over by the sands of time. So many big people come in this world, show off for some time, and they go off. And they have to roll on the ground and submerge into the sand. Only their bones are left. That is the material world. So one has to see the reality of the material world. That is why he says, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshanam. One should see that with X-ray vision. Actually, we need X-ray vision because we only tend to see the externals. Somebody is beautiful, somebody is successful, somebody is wealthy, somebody is living in opulent conditions, and we become fascinated by the external glamour of this material world. So one has to poke through the glamour to see in reality that in every body there is a living spark, the soul, who is actually equal in status. All the souls are actually Satchidananda Vigraha. So this person is able to see like that. That is why he is indifferent. Na shochati na kankshati, he says. Brahmabhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati. When one comes to this Brahmabhuta stage, he does not lament, nor does he hanker for anything. Shubha shubha parityagi. This may be very amazing. How can one give up shubha, auspicious thing? He's saying shubha, ashubha, parityagi. He gives both shubha and ashubha, he says. In this world, what we consider as shubha or auspicious is from our perception, often. Like people consider certain things to be shubha, like they say Mangal Karyalai, they say, isn't it? So, Sumangal Karyalai, is it? Shubha Mangal Karyalai, yeah. So, what they do, marriages there, isn't it? Yes, marriages can be considered Shubha Mangal if they are Krishna conscious marriages. If they are not Krishna conscious marriages, what kind of auspiciousness is there in that relationship? If a man and woman simply come together to expand their sense gratification, and after some years they are going to be quarreling with one another. Isn't it? So what kind of auspiciousness is there in that if Krishna is not the center? Prabhupada writes in one purport, I was reading that when man and woman come together, and in between them there is Radha and Krishna, by each other's connection they feel spiritual bliss, because the in-between personalities are spiritual personalities. But as soon as Radha Krishna go out of their life, when they actually come in contact with one another as material personalities, there will be quarrel. There will be fight. So as soon as there is quarrel, we can understand that Krishna is not with us. So we have to bring Krishna into our life. Just like you see in the Trinavrata, when Trinavrata took away Krishna, when Krishna was taken away by Trinavrata, then immediately all the gopis' eyes were covered with sand and they could not see one another. They were shouting and yelling. So when Trinavrata was brought down by Krishna, then the gopis could see Krishna. Similarly, actually what happiness comes between husband and wife in a Krishna conscious family is actually because of Krishna being in between. That is spiritual pleasure. And same is true for our any relation with Vaishnavas also. If you see Vaishnavas as Krishna's servants, whether it be Matajis or Prabhujis or whoever it is, if there is Krishna between our relationship, we will feel spiritual bliss. when we are exchanging relationship with Vaishnavas, when there is Krishna in the center. As soon as we remove Krishna from the center and we start dealing as karmi, material relationship, there will be aberration. Krr, krr, spark will come. And see that. So, that is why Shubha, Ashubha in this material world is both condemned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he says, Punya is also papam, he says. Why Punya is also considered pap? Because it delays my returning back to spiritual world. He says, because when I get some Punya, I have to go to heaven, I have to enjoy, thinking that I am the Devata, I have to drink Somaras, you have to enjoy Nandana Garden, and all my time will get wasted in my returning back to spiritual world. So Punya or Papa, whichever delays my returning back to Krishna, or whichever prolongs my separation with Krishna, that he says is inauspicious. That is why there is no... devotee does not see what is Shubha, what is Ashubha. Like for example, when Prabhupada went abroad, there were some bungalows, which they said it's a Bhuta bungalow, they were saying. Why it's Bhuta bungalows? Or why is the ghost haunted place? Because suddenly some thunderbolt fell in that house and there were some cracks in the wall. Or there were people in the house who died, and all of them died together in some accident or something. So nobody wants to buy that house. Nobody wants to go there, and people fear. Or somebody committed suicide in that house. So people fear that, you know, this is a very dangerous place. But Prabhupada said, okay, give us that house. We are ready to take it. And some people gave in donation. And Prabhupada took, and he took all the devotees there and put all bright lights there and established deity of Radha Krishna there and Gaur Nithai there, chanting, dancing. Today no one knows it's a Bhuta bungalow. And you see, it has become a temple and attracting thousands and thousands of people to come. And so he transformed Ashubha place into a Shubha place, you can see. So for a devotee, there is no inauspiciousness. A devotee can transform any place into Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada says New York. For a pure devotee, even New York is Vaikuntha. He can make New York a Bowery place into Vaikuntha by his devotional presence and by establishing Krishna consciousness. So that is why Shubha Shubha Parityagi, he says. That means if my so-called auspicious activity delays or stops my performance of Krishna conscious activity, then I won't accept it. For example, we have to see Muhurt, right? You all know Muhurt and time for everything. So Prabhupada had a policy of not traveling outdoor on Thursdays. So he told his disciples, don't keep any programs for me outside on Thursdays. So generally Thursday traveling is outside, traveling is not good. I don't know whether it is only for his Rashi or whatever. So he would not travel on Thursdays outside. But sometimes there would be special programs which devotees arranged, and they happened to be on Thursday. And Prabhupada told the devotees that if a program cannot be kept on any other day other than Thursday, we can go ahead arranging it. So then Prabhupada would go for the program that day. Now somebody may say, no, Prabhupada considered it inauspicious to travel on Thursday out, then why did you go for the program? So a devotee may follow certain Vedic etiquettes and rules and regulations, but if those etiquettes and rules come in the way of serving Krishna, a devotee may not mind breaking them for a higher cause. So for a higher principle, one can break the lower principles. A fitting example of all these qualities we can find in the character of Jadabharata. Jadabharata, as you all know, he was Bharat Maharaj before. Owing to the material attachment that he developed towards a deer, he became a deer in the next life. Then subsequently in the third life, he becomes Jadabharata. So he is called by the name Jadabharat because he behaved like a Jada man. As if he is dumb, as if he is blind, as if he is deaf. He dealt with people as if he is a fool. Although he was internally alert. He was internally awakened soul. He was a Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat devotee, internally. But externally, what did he do? He behaved like a dumb man, deaf man, dull man, completely mum, keeping mum. So why he did that? Because asat sangatyag, te Vaishnava achar. So he wanted to avoid the materialistic association of demoniac people. He thought that already I lost two lifetimes as Bharat Maharaj and deer. Now this time, I am not going to give any way. I am going to be really serious about returning back to Krishna in this third life. So keeping this in mind, keeping this goal in mind, he was very serious about returning back to Krishna. So constantly he thought of the Lord within his heart and experienced great ecstatic raptures and love for Krishna. But externally, he behaved like a dull man, like a fool. So his father was a great Brahmin and he wanted to teach Vedas to the son. So he called him and taught him the Vedic rituals and Karmakanda. A devotee of the Lord is not at all attracted to Karmakanda. Why? Because Karmakanda rituals are generally performed for demigods, so that one can get more wealth, or one can get more comforts and luxuries of the world, or one can be elevated to the heavenly planets. You will find that all the Vaishnavas, like Haridas Thakur for example, he never performed Karmakanda in his life, but Lord Chaitanya made him Namacharya. You will see that. Madhavendra Puri, he says, my dear Lord, I am not attracted to any of these Karmakanda formularies, the Vedic formularies, which often, you know, teach a person how to perform this puja for getting this and that puja for getting that. These are useless. So a devotee refrains from such rituals, but he directly, spontaneously becomes attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita which says this, Shabda Brahmati Vartate. That verse says that, Purvyabhyasena tenaiva hriyate hi avashopisaha jignyasarapi yogasya Shabda Brahmati Vartate. So Purvabhyasena means because of the Purva Janma activity which Jarabharata had done. Purva Abhyasena Tenaiva Hriyate. You know the meaning of Hriyate? Hriyate means to get attracted. Hriyate hi avashopi saha. One becomes attracted to Krishna helplessly, he says. As if a magnet is able to pull the iron filings. Like that one is drawn towards the Lord madly in the next life. And why it happens? Because of the previous life activity. If any of us feel little attraction to the Lord, in this life we all have Shraddha, isn't it? Otherwise we won't be here. That Shraddha has a previous history also. We have done something, little bit we have done, now we are continuing it. And we will continue it in the next life if we have to be born again. So it's cumulative, life after life. If you have done 20% purification in previous life, now you start from 21%. If you have done 80% purification, you start from 81%. It's never lost. Because the soul carries the progress in the path of bhakti along with them. When he is carrying the punya and pap, along with it he carries it. So, there it says, Jignyasarpi Yogasya. He is a great Jignyasu. He is very eager to learn about the Supreme Lord, his name, form, pastimes, qualities, activities. And he delights in remembrance of the Lord and chanting of the holy name. But when it comes to the Vedic formularies, Shabda Brahma Ativartate, he says, he stands above the Vedic formularies, he says. That means, you know, he is not attracted by the so-called rituals and ceremonies conducted at homes for some demigods, for some material purposes of dharma, artha, kama and all that. He is not attracted. So, Jadabharata was not at all attracted to them. His father loved him very much. He tried to teach him Vedas, tried to teach him Sanskrit. He was not attracted at all. So he behaved like a fool externally. And he used to wear a black color sacred thread, which he never washed. And he would be wearing a simple loin cloth. And his body was like an untethered bull, very powerful bull, well-grown body. And because he behaved like a fool, his stepbrothers, because his father had many wives, and the brothers born of others, stepbrothers and stepmothers, they all mistreated him because he was behaving like a fool. Sometimes they would give him the rice that is burnt, you know, because at the bottom of the vessel sometimes the rice is burnt. So they would give him that food, which is a burnt food, and he would happily accept it. He would consider that food like nectar. He didn't find any problem with that. Similarly, they would make him stand in the field. What do you call that man who stands in the field like this? What do you call it? Scarecrow? A scarecrow. So he was given the job of driving away the crows. Simply standing like a scarecrow or driving away the crows. And he didn't know exactly how to till the land, how to do work and all, he didn't know. So they just told him to drive away the crows and stand there. Actually, why I was telling scarecrow? Because scarecrow has no life. It is simply a stick. But they treated him like that only. They didn't give him respect. But he never felt any insult at all. from anyone. He was always happily situated because he was remembering Krishna always. In fact, subsequently, when one time some Kali worshippers saw him, they thought that this is a very fitting offering for Kali. So they wanted to give him in sacrifice. Actually, although such things are never mentioned in scriptures anywhere, these foolish worshippers of Kali, they picked him up and they took him to sever his head. So I was reading one of the verses from Bhagavatam from that section. It says, although they were about to sever his head, he did not show even an iota of fear. There was absolutely no fear in him that somebody is lifting a big chopper and they are going to cut off my neck. You can imagine how much he was free from bodily consciousness. This is the height of freedom from bodily consciousness. Generally, whenever we are harmed by anyone, we protest. Certainly, because self-preservation is the first law. We want to preserve ourselves. But such an exalted devotee doesn't even protect himself. This is not applicable to us. Nobody should try to do this. I don't think anybody is going to try anyway. But when in our platform, we are not Ajgar Vritti Paramahamsa Bhaktas. You know Ajgar Vritti Paramahamsa Bhaktas, we were talking in the previous class.
Avadhut,
yeah. Whatever comes of its own accord, they accept, like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri never begged from anybody's house. He was just chanting the holy names in Govinda Kunda. When that small Gopal came and gave him the pot of milk. So neither can we avoid seeking help from others, nor can we tolerate someone about to harm us or insult us. So this goes to show the exalted position of Jada Bharata. He was in such a position. So we can easily understand that he is in a position fit to go back to spiritual world. Na shochita na kankshati. So these are actually indifferent personalities, and the Lord is talking these verses in the chapter of devotional service, which means we can understand that a devotee has to become practically neutral to the material inputs of emotions. That means material happiness, material distress comes, or material disturbances come in our life. We have to become practically neutral to them, and we should only exhibit emotion on spiritual platform. Which means when there is spiritual happiness, we can exhibit joy. When there is spiritual suffering, one may exhibit separation, feelings of separation from Krishna. That is very much wanted and natural for the soul who is endowed with spiritual emotions. Whereas on material platform, one has to become free from these emotions. Because as long as material emotions exist, the material body is also assured. Subsequently, the material body will also come. So we have to spiritualize the material body. And just like putting iron rod in fire, we can make the iron rod fiery. In the same way, we have to spiritualize the material body by absorbing ourselves in this tad-buddhe, tad-atmanah, tan-nishtha, tat-parayanah, as we said in the beginning. By that, gradually, whatever we do, all our emotions will become spiritual emotions. Like I was in Bombay, once Maharaj was addressing a group of some 60-80 devotees who were all drama party devotees. So Maharaj of course doesn't speak in such meetings, he doesn't speak, he just observes and he hears from them. So they were all speaking for the past 3 months how we completely became oblivious to the material world. They said we don't know where we were when we were doing this drama for the past 3 months of practice. Because every year they practice for drama and they put up when Maharaj returns from abroad. So all the Matajis, Prabhujis, many of them were coming in the front and sharing about how sometimes they scolded someone, they were seeking forgiveness. Sometimes they gave some trouble to someone for the drama practice. So it was mostly like, you know, like the Aparadha Bhanjan, you know, mostly seeking forgiveness for pushing someone or, you know, and also thanking someone or expressing gratitude to someone. And they were all very excited about the meeting. They were all speaking. Their faces were lit up and they were excited about saying how they practiced and how they formulated different scenes and settings and everything, who did what and everything. So at that time, this came to my mind that these people For the past 3 months, they didn't exist in the material world. They were practically on a different platform. They were in spiritual world. Because they are all putting the role of different spiritual personalities, isn't it? In different dramas. And the goal is to please the spiritual master. That is the goal in the mind. So both ways it's wonderful. On one hand, the role they are playing is spiritual roles. On the other hand, they are completely, they know in the mind that Maharaj is going to come and watch, and I have to put up a nice drama for Maharaj's pleasure. And the heart becomes softened, innocent, pure. Krishna says that verse also in one verse. He says, such a yogi becomes completely soft-hearted, innocent like a child. And in quality, his heart is very similar to Krishna's heart. There is one verse in the 5th chapter where Krishna says that. So the heart of a devotee also is similar to Krishna's heart. So when one becomes so... So of course the 3 months they were observed, now they have come out of that after 3 months. Because drama is over now. So that is why I have seen in Bombay, Maharaj gives engagement after engagement. Like now, what is coming now? South India Yatra is coming, isn't it? Before South India Yatra, there is Vyas Puja, I think, right? There is Vyas Puja, then there is South India Yatra. When you come back, there is Rath Yatra. Pune Yatra after that. After Pune Yatra. Then there is Gaur Purnima, isn't it? After Gaur Purnima, there is Ram Navami celebration. And every festival, some new idea come up. Nowadays, the Gopal is dressing in so many ways. You know, practically 50 different ways they have dressed Gopal. You have seen the pictures? The side they have put up. So, Maharaj gives different kinds of engagements. By giving different engagements, what happens? One time he was telling in Yatra, I was hearing in the lecture. He said, may our life become one long Yatra, he said. So we never come back to the material world. So when we make our life like that, then constantly we can post ourselves on a spiritual platform and not come to the material platform. There is no time to act materially. So we have to keep ourselves very preoccupied, always on a spiritual platform. Then we are very safe and secure. Then we don't have to work hard to become like Jadabharat. Not necessary. Because Jadabharat type of Udasyanita we cannot achieve. How many of us can be dumb and deaf and dull and not speaking anything? We have so much emotions and we are excited about so many things. So naturally we are emotional beings. So we cannot become like this Udasyan. But we can spiritualize those emotions. It's possible. Instead of utilizing the material emotions to rot in the material world and entangle ourselves and glide down in the evolutionary cycle, we can use those emotions to positively utilize them in Krishna service, devotee service, to elevate ourselves and ascend to the spiritual sky. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai. Shri Radhe Shyam Prabhu ki
jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Now the qualities Krishna is talking in even 6th chapter or Uddhaya Vinaya Sampanne, the same qualities he is talking in 12th chapter. There is Yogaruda or Pandita. They are not devotees,
they are yogis. They also achieve these qualities.
Yeah.
A devotee is superior.
It's superior.
Yeah. Because he has a positive engagement. Yeah. They don't have that. Of course they also have Paramatma engagement, but that is not very high class. Yeah. A devotee has association of other devotees. Many other advantages devotee has. Devotee has causeless mercy of Krishna. And devotee has positive engagement for his spiritual emotions, yes. Yeah. Bhakti manya samay priya. This is bhakti manya. Clearly, this is about bhakti manya. Harit Bipin, Bipin is here. You can play.